Radio City Sport.
Red and blue banter and debate. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
6:30 on a Monday evening can only mean one thing on Radio City Sport. A very warm welcome to the Legend Show. Alan Irwin in for Steve Hothersall, and delighted to have Aldo back after he missed Friday evenings. Well, Gary Gillespie stood in for you. Didn't do a grand job because you're 4-3 down in the betting.
You can't expect anything else with Gary, to be honest.
You can only draw if... well, he put Liverpool down to get a draw at Arsenal tonight. Not surprisingly, Sharpie's gone for a home win. Mm-hmm. Arsenal
not,
against...
Not surprisingly, but it's not nothing to do with that. It's just, I just think that Arsenal... This will be a really tough test for Liverpool tonight. Really tough test.
Yeah, great weekend to reflect on, a game to look forward to, always plenty to debate on the Legends. We'll kick off with you, Sharpie, obviously, on the back of Everton's defeat yesterday. A good performance, indifferent, what did you make of it?
Yeah, listen, the best team won. We knew before the game it was going to be really difficult. They are a top team. They can sign the best players. And they had too much for us, you see. But in saying that, I thought we acquitted ourselves quite well. Unfortunately, we didn't put them under enough pressure. We had a couple of opportunities. Lukaku had a goal disallowed, which was borderline. Barry had the header in the second half, headed off the line, or kicked off the line, sorry. But they, when you think the players have got, and I said before, David Silva for me is awesome. Absolutely awesome. And they've got Aguero up top. Take him off. Bonnie comes on. And they've just got so much quality in every single position. He comes on, Nasri scores the second goal. So, I thought there was lots of good points. I thought there was lots of good performances. I thought Coleman did well at right back. I thought Gareth Barry did well. Ross Barkley did okay. But again, just in that final third, we didn't do enough to break them down. And they play at a canter. And then when they need to step it up, bang, they play. And the pass, Sterling for the goal for Kolarov. Tim Hibbert's coming in for a little bit of stick. I know, but I'm not too sure. I think he made some good saves as well. He'll be disappointed, but I think you've got to give credit to Kolarov as well. He's fired it in that near post and with a bit of pace. But listen, all in all, we knew it was going to be difficult, but certainly didn't disgrace himself. And I thought we gave them a game, but I think the quality stood out at the end.
I suppose you'd expect that, John, wouldn't you, from a side that are going to be pushing for the title? You'd expect them to be better in the final third.
Yeah, it's all about that extra bit of quality they got in the players that Sharpie mentioned. You know, I thought the second goal just epitomised them. You know, you look at Torre, he's given it the old one eye where he's looking the other way and he just dinks it over.
Yeah.
And you know, Nasri, love him or hate him, he took it really, really well. You couldn't blame the goalkeeper for that one. I thought Tim Howard had a great game personally. He let himself down expecting...
It's incredible the different views we're getting on Tim Howard.
I know, but you know, he as a goalkeeper, you can't gamble on him going across the face of the goal. But he thought from there, he's never going to shoot. Yeah. And he's just left himself open, and for once he let himself down. But other than that, I thought he was pretty faultless. City, quality, absolute quality. And I had a little charity bet in Ireland, which had come through. I'd done Chelsea and City to win, which got me bet up. Unfortunately, it wasn't with Radio City. It was charity, Temperley's Hospital.
Well, charity bets over the course of the weekend, while we're on charity. Sharpie, you just missed out. You had Gillingham to beat Wigan, they did. Sheffield United to beat Blackpool, they did. Portsmouth to beat Morecambe. Morecambe were actually 3 up in that game. Portsmouth came back to draw.
But listen, I'm driving back from somewhere on Saturday and I've got the radio on. So I'm thinking, 2 in? I said, I've got a chance here. And I went, Portsmouth 3. And I went, yeah, get in, you beauty. And I went, Morecambe 3. And you crashed the car. I'm like, no.
I didn't even know it was 3 all the enemies.
Gary Gillespie failed. He had QPR to beat Rotherham, which happened. But then he did Wigan to beat Gillingham and Coventry to beat Walsall, which let him down. Just on the predictions in terms of the Premier League that you did at the weekend, Sharpie, the ones you got right, Palace to beat Villa, Leicester to draw with Tottenham, Chelsea to win at West Brom, and Watford and Southampton to draw. Mr. Gillespie only had Norwich and Stoke to draw, which he got right, and Chelsea to win, and Manchester City to win at Everton. So he backed the big boys and came off, really.
Now, it was a busy weekend, and not just the Everton thing, but you know, the Chelsea thing again, the debates about referees' decisions, and you know, we talked about the Lukaku one, you know, was borderline, but you know, I'm looking at it, I know he's getting a bit of a hard time at the moment, but talk about Chelsea, John Terry. Now, for me, I've seen it time and time again, and I know what everybody's saying, but I thought that was a harsh sending off. I thought there was minimal contact, you know, and okay, you could say he's been caught out kind of thing, but to give a red card for that, I'm not so sure. You know, and I think that was a bit harsh on John Terry. They win the game, don't get me wrong. They needed a win, but sending off was a bit harsh for me.
Is that just quite simply the laws as they are today? Minimal contact, that's all that's required. A player goes down, last man. The referee's left with no alternative.
He got caught. The referee was a fair distance away because the ball got put through. Perhaps he was a bit closer, he might have given the benefit of the doubt to Terry, but it's funny, isn't it? You know, all of a sudden, Terry, you know, he's the best thing since sliced bread for his age. And in the space of 7 days, it's all gone pear-shaped for him, you know, being substituted last week and then being sent off. It's football for you.
Everton's next home game, Sharpie, is against Chelsea. Yeah. John Terry will be... So is that a straight red?
Straight red, three, isn't it?
So he will be suspended.
But when did the referee done? He pulled out a yellow first.
Yes, he did.
Then he
by mistake,
was it by mistake? Yeah. So he misses the Chelsea game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully John Stones won't be in the Chelsea team. He won't be.
Just before we move on to have a look at Liverpool tonight, just a final sort of reflection on Everton. You touched on a couple of displays. Young Brendan Galloway was always going to have a tough time against the quality of the opposition he was coming up against. Got himself injured as well. Difficult in that position, a young, inexperienced fullback who I think Everton see as a centre-back and
he's
also
done well.
Off injured.
Yeah, he's done really, really well with the kid. He came in the last two or three games last season. West Ham away was one of them, and he did really well. He's not the finished article, but he's tall, he's quick. I think they see him as a centre-half, but he's having to play there. I was a little bit surprised. Going to the game at the weekend, I thought they might have made a change and played Oviedo there simply because of his experience. He's, you know, played in big games before. I thought he might have played him there.
He wasn't on the bench, either.
No, he wasn't on the bench. It was a surprise. The manager said he hasn't played enough games. He's not ready for it yet, but I thought he would have been there. I think... Brendan sometimes gets caught out. You know, I think he ball watches at times. And I thought, against Man City, with the movement they've got, I'm thinking he might just go with Oviedo. So I was really surprised that he wasn't even on the bench. When he did go off injured, they had to bring on Tyus Browning, who's not really a left-back. You know, right-footed, more a centre-back, right-back, not a left-back. So a little bit short there at the moment.
Yeah, and Luke Garbutt's out on loan at Fulham.
He's injured as well.
Come
back.
I know
he's injured,
but he was sent away, wasn't
he? So really struggling. We just have to wait and see what the Galloway injury is.
Oviedo will play on Wednesday at Barnsley, won't he?
Yeah, I think he'd have to because he's the only fit and available one, you know, that's here.
That's the Capital One Cup second round. Liverpool got a bye because they're in Europe, obviously, John. Big game tonight. You're obviously looking forward to it. Not a great record at the Emirates of late.
Yeah, don't really do well there, do we? It's going to be tough. I just hope he doesn't leave us too open in midfield. I'd like to see him play Lucas and Sean. You know, in front of the defence, then Henderson, if he's available, and Coutinho and Milner on the right. Just for this game, I think, you know, we've got to consolidate midfield areas because they are exceptional.
Yeah.
And if we play like we did against Bournemouth and set out with the midfield, there's no real togetherness in midfield. We talked about it on Friday, me and Sharpie. Like, they were rigid against Arsenal. I think you've got to be tight. I think you've got to start the game. Okay, they're going to have a lot of possession, but make sure you're right and you don't give them anything, as we did last year. You know, they ran amok last year early on with us. So, tough game.
So, Emre Can to come in for you?
I would, and Lucas tonight. I would have played the two of them, yeah, definitely.
Despite the fact that there's still rumourings that Lucas could be on his way.
He's still a Liverpool player, Al, you know, until he goes. And it is only rumours. Only he knows, and probably the manager, that something is happening with Besiktas or what. But I think if he goes, they may have to go and try and get someone in a short period of time. You know, I don't think there's anyone really at the club, but then you're going to bring a young lad into the equation that can do that job.
Well, given Liverpool's run of fixtures that are coming up away from home, it's important to try and get something, isn't it?
It is. It's so important, first and foremost, you know, with the away games we've got to come, all the top teams plus Everton. You know, who is a top team? You know,
top team and Everton, yeah.
well,
I liked him when Gary Gillespie was here.
Man United, Chelsea, City. Yeah. Arsenal, and then we've got Everton and Tottenham, which they're all the top teams, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, and we've had Stoke, which was always going to be a difficult one. So it's so important that we win our home games. Mm. The home games, you know, touchwood, are winnable, you know, against lower league opposition. So a lot of pressure on to win the home games and go to the likes of Arsenal, you know, and these places and try and bring a point back. If you win, win away from home, brilliant. Mm. But, you know, they're not the places that we're renowned to going away and winning at. So it's going to be it's a tough start. But if we can get to Christmas time, and we're in the fold with all them big teams come to Anfield, then we might have a chance by the time the players have gelled together.
Mm. Lallana injured again?
Well, to be honest, away from home at Arsenal, I'm not too disappointed. Mm. You know, I thought the last two games he's been really, really disappointing.
Mm.
He has from
you're expecting bigger things from him?
Yeah, well, if you're playing up there on the left-hand side and Benteke needs feeding, you know, I mean, Sharp, you know, when you're isolated in that area, you need things to thrive off. He's not put one ball in the box. He's not played one ball to Benteke in two games. He doesn't give you an awful lot defensively. You know, he's a flair player. We all know what he can give when he's at Southampton and when he was at England. Tremendous player, but for me, he's not done it at Liverpool.
The thing is that tonight, John, is we talk about Arsenal and how good they are going forward and they've got great players, but the weak link, okay, they've got Cech in. Hasn't started great, but he's still a good goalkeeper.
Yeah.
But Benteke against their back four and against their central defender, you'd think, I'll have a go here. He's a regular, he will cause them problems if they get the right delivery into him. Mm. So that's going to be a big ask, I think, how he does. If he's on top of his game, Liverpool get a chance of winning.
Mm. Mm. I agree.
Mm. Firmino, when will he start?
I don't think he'll start him tonight. I'd be surprised. If Lallana's not playing and Henderson, then he may do.
Mm.
But I don't know. I think Lucas will come in. Mm. I really do. Mm. And I hope so anyway. But, but yeah, it's going to be interesting, you know, the line. And we should get it quite shortly, shouldn't we?
Yeah, the team news should be out an hour before kickoff. But plenty to debate. Let's talk to one of the local journalists, one of the top local journalists, Tony Barrett's on the line from The Times to talk all things Liverpool and Everton. Tony, you're not getting away with just the Reds tonight. We'll touch on Everton, but we'll start with Liverpool. Thanks for your time anyway, Tony. Welcome.
No problem. Evening, gents. You all okay? Yeah,
Tony, yeah. I'm not too sure about top journalists. I don't know where to get that from.
There's not much to pick from, is there, to be fair?
Right, Tony, are you down at Arsenal?
No, I'm at home. I've got a few days off, so I'm watching the game at home, thankfully.
Right. Lucas back in contention for a start tonight, but still could be leaving the club. Do you know any more about that?
Yeah, it's that deal's there. It looks ready to go. If as expected, Lucas agrees, he'll go on loan to Besiktas probably in the next few days, which I think makes playing him tonight an even bigger ask. He's a player who hasn't been involved much, Jordan. Pre-season who's been out the pitch, and then you get plunged in at Arsenal away and the day before you could potentially be going and leaving the club. I just think it's a big ask to do that to any player, so it'll be interesting to see how he performs, but yeah, it looks like he'll start.
Is Balotelli in the squad for tonight, Tony?
No sign of Mario. More chance of me or you, Graham. No, I think Mario's in Italy and I don't expect him to come back anytime soon. I think the part of the way that's been inevitable probably since last August is about to transpire. There's no way back for him now. He'll go on loan to Milan.
Aldo's rejoicing in that fact. I can tell you when he walked in the studio tonight when we gave him that news. Is that going to happen, and are Milan going to pay the vast majority of his wages?
No, I don't think, well, it will happen, but I don't think they'll pay the vast majority of his wages. I think if you look at Milan, this is their ultimate revenge for Istanbul. I think they sell him to Liverpool for 16 million, get him back a year later on loan, with no loan fee, and Liverpool paying some of his wages. So if you look at that as a deal for AC Milan over the space of 12 months, it's not bad at all. But listen, everyone talks about Balotelli and what he does and doesn't do. For me, it's no good blaming the lad holding him responsible. He didn't ask to sign for Liverpool. Liverpool asked him to sign for them. So the responsibility lies with them who actually took him to the club. And listen, I wish him well. I hope he does well in Italy, because I think he's still a young player with ability. I don't think the kind of ability that people have talked about.
Tony, do you think he really got a chance? Or do you think he just blew it? Do you think he was given enough?
It's a bit of both, Graham. It's a bit of both. Listen, I think all Liverpool's forwards were managed badly last year. Yeah. I don't think there's a forward of the club who would walk away saying they got a fair chance that the team was ever built around them or played to their sense. And Ricky Lambert would be included in that. And by mid-season, Liverpool were playing Raheem Sterling up front because they wanted somebody who could run in behind, which begs the question, why did they buy a couple of forwards who don't do that?
Well, I suppose Liverpool should be grateful that someone wants him. That's the main thing.
At the corner, aren't they? You know, the problem would be if he's on about 150 grand a week.
It's not that much, is it?
Liverpool will still have to. They'll probably still have to pay a hundred of it. Because at the end of the day, no one actually wants him. And once someone's come along, you're just going to have to take the hit.
That's the thing, as Tony says here as well. But if you buy somebody, you know, for that amount of money, okay, he's got a reputation, but you play him, don't you? You make him feel at home. You say, look, well, listen, we all know about his off-the-field things and his antics and all that, but as Tony says, you've got to play him. You know, you've got to give him the opportunity. I know he lets himself down, I know that, but, hey, listen, he's been a player. Mm. It was a gamble, and the gamble hasn't paid off. But
I think the gamble was, looking at it at the time, I thought, 16 million, I thought, well, all right, we haven't got anyone else. So at least next year, if it doesn't happen, you might get 10 million back for him. But that's not been the case. You know, you're going to be getting nothing back for him. Mm. You know, and you're going to have to pay his wages, most of his wages. So it's been a nightmare, hasn't it, for him and both the club? It just hasn't worked, unfortunately. And I do agree with Tony. Mm. I think we didn't get it right with the forwards last year at all.
While we're on the subject of players departing, Berini, Tony, a report saying he could also be moving to Milan with Balotelli, but to Inter.
Oh, I haven't heard that one. I know Inter were looking at him early in the window. Mm. And a couple of Italian clubs where Lazio had a little look and that went nowhere. I think he will go back to Italy. I don't think he wants to stay in England particularly. Mm. He had the chance with a couple of clubs. He could have went to QPR. He could have went to Sunderland. He knocked both those opportunities back. And listen, it's up to him. It's a lifestyle choice as much as his career. He wants to live somewhere else. He wants to live his life a certain way. And he doesn't feel he can do it here. He's another player who Liverpool signed, and I don't think he's ever looked the part. And that again comes back to the club's transfer policy. Mm. Why are they buying so many players who they're having to farm out within 2 or 3 years? It just doesn't make sense.
I think with him as well, it doesn't help that his girlfriend's local as well. Yeah. Tony.
I don't think
she wants to move anywhere. By the way, no, proper Liverpool lass, you know.
Any more coming in at Liverpool that you can see, Tony, before the window closes?
Now all the soundings are that they're done. That unless there's an unexpected outgoing, which obviously I don't see happening at the minute, they're happy with the squad that they've got together. I mean, for me, I think they're short of a couple of positions. I think they're short of a top-class left-back, although Joe Gomez is impressed there. But that's not a position. He's 18 years old, and you wouldn't expect him to play the season there. And I do think they need a bit more quality in the field. I think they lack quality. I think they lack a player who's going to win the ball back Begley for them. They're the two positions. I'd also say that I still feel, I know Mignolet ended the season really well, I'm still not totally convinced. I think he'd have to maintain that form to be where it is placed, and the first couple of games I've looked at them again and thought they're still the same false start there when he first came, and I think he needs to put them right fairly sharpish.
Tony, what about any good news in the transfer market for Everton?
Well, they have got a couple of players lined up, but it's obviously one of them is down to wear famous. The Argentinian whose name I keep on forgetting, the centre back, that's going to come down to a work permit, which is going to be complex. He's only got one cap, so that's not straightforward. So Everton are going to have to argue that he's a player of enormous potential. Mm-hmm. That's how you win those kind of battles with the government. The interesting one, Yarmolenko, yesterday I was told it was off. So there's no chance, and then there's all these names coming out. Bernard from Shakhtar Donetsk, Januzaj, United, and to me that smacked of a little bit of posh and Everton trying to get Dynamo Kiev to get a move on and sanction the deal. But today, the sounds in Russia are that Yarmolenko could sign a contract. So it's hard to say which way that goes. I think Everton need a few in. I do think... I look at them, I think they're a forward short. I think they're at least one centre-back short. I mean, they could do the left-back again with the injuries they've got. So Everton could do it, getting a few in, and I'm not sure the kind of... basically what they're doing is the two South American lads. They're clearly going to be squad players.
Yeah.
They're not coming in to be first choice, and I think Everton need a little bit more than that at the minute, to really threaten a couple of places in the first team.
Yeah.
You were at Goodison yesterday, Tony. Do you think Everton needed to be just a bit more clinical?
Yeah, I wasn't, and it's one of those where, listen, everyone will be disappointed Everton lost, but I didn't think Everton played badly. I saw City last week against Chelsea, and City are now playing with a kind of physical intensity that I don't think anyone's going to match, and they're just wearing teams down. And after seeing them do that to Chelsea, I fully expect them to come to Goodison and do the same. And at the end of the first half, Everton were absolutely in the game, and that Lukaku free kick that clips the crossbar, you wonder what kind of game it becomes if that goes in and Everton gets something to hold on to. But I just thought in the second half, City took control, and from that point on, as soon as they scored, I think everyone felt on the ground. It was a long way back. It was only one, but it felt a long way back. And in the end, they're superior quality toe. But I didn't think it was a bad performance by Everton. I thought they performed pretty well.
Yeah, you just knew City had another gear, you know, when it, and they could use it whenever they wanted. It was just one of them, if we go a goal down, we'll move up a gear kind of thing. And they are, I agree with Tony, I think they're looking really, really strong. Really, really strong. Better from last year. Company's going to be a big player for them. They brought in Otamendi as well, but Mangala, you know, for all the hype during the week about, you know, Romelu was going to run Company and Mangala, it didn't happen. I'm afraid we never got the ball forward enough to him.
Just a final word, Tony, on maybe the John Stones situation. It's going to run and run till deadline day, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm off today, but I just saw on Twitter then that a suggestion that Chelsea might think that there's no way for it to go this window, which if so is very good news for Everton. And I think, to be fair to Everton, everyone's thought that they would buckle at some point, but there's been no sign of that. And if anything, they've actually got stronger as the window's gone on. The position's it's got to the point now where you go, could they really sell? They've been so strong, and there's now John Woods has said that it's too late in the window for it to be countenanced. I hope it doesn't happen for loads of reasons. One, number one, primarily, like you usually watch him, I enjoy watching John Stones. I don't think there's enough footballers of quality on Merseyside. I look back to when John and Graham were playing for the two clubs. This was the city where top players wanted to end up.
Yeah.
And I just think now, it's not just the top players where the city where top players want to leave. It's where younger players feel they can't fulfil their potential. And I just think we've had a summer where we've lost Raheem Sterling to the city, and if you lost John Stones, well, I just think that'd be damaging. I look at the kids in the city and what they look up to, the players they want to be. We need more Stones, we need more Sterlings, and I just don't want to see another one go.
Good point.
Yeah, perfectly put, Tony. Thanks very much. Something we were discussing before we even came on air, so thanks for your time tonight. Go and get the team news from the Emirates. Thanks very much indeed.
Cheers.
Okay, Tony Barrett from the Times with some very interesting points as always. This is the Legends Live from the top of the Radio City Tower. Back with more very shortly.
Call the Legends now. 0151 4720 967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharvey. Radio City Sport.
Kelly now to Suarez. Opens up for Lucas. Liverpool still looking for a second to put it beyond Arsenal. It's rolled into Morelos. Morelos to Suarez. Suarez's goal! Arsenal 0, Liverpool 2. That's the nail in Arsenal's coffin. And that's the scoreline which prompts a victory for Liverpool in London against Arsenal for the first time in more than a decade.
Well, that Suarez goal in Liverpool's only win at the Emirates, 2-0 in 2011. Liverpool's record generally against the top four sides away from home, John, is pretty poor, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I think the manager's got to take heed and experience out of that the last few years while he's been at the club. You know, how to go there and how to grind the results out. It's okay going and trying to win the games, and you know, sometimes it's fantastic that the manager tries to do that, but some games you can't. Yeah. You've got to do it a specific way and get your tactics right. And Arsenal's one of those places. You can't go gung-ho there because they'll have you.
It didn't sound like you were at that game because there wasn't a big yell or a scream.
No, I wasn't going at that game. That's true, yeah. I think the best result I'd seen at the Emirates was a draw when Kaut scored, I think, in the... That was in Europe, wasn't it? I think it was, if I'm right. Yeah, so it's... And even when we've done Highbury a couple of times, we always took a bit of a battering.
Well, Liverpool are there tonight. We're waiting for the team news, which should be coming through very, very quickly indeed. Just while the break was on there, I was just having a look through the predictions from the weekend, Sharpie. One of Gary Gillespie's was for West Ham to beat Bournemouth. And I do remember him saying, Bournemouth just haven't got goals
no
in them.
Yeah. He said they have no chance of scoring goals. And the boy that scored the hat trick, you know, brilliant for him, kind of thing, Wilson. But Gary did say, I think that's a great result. You know, we said before, John said, they started off West Ham, they beat Arsenal, and you're thinking, aye, Bilic has got them turned around here. You know, this is a big season for West Ham. And then they get beat at home at Bournemouth. That'd be bitterly disappointing.
And Leicester, they've lost
to. And Leicester as well,
but the thing we were talking about last week, Henry, about the teams that come up notoriously go down. Mm. And I'm just looking at some teams at the bottom, like Sunderland and one or two others. Mm. They're going to struggle by the looks of things, and they might give them an opportunity of one or two of them staying up. Mm. I think one of them will definitely go back down.
Yeah.
Probably two, you know, I don't think three will. I'm just looking around. There's some teams not got it right to start with, haven't they? And they're going to struggle.
We have got the Liverpool team. Mignolet, Klein, Skirtle, Lovren, Gomez. Big test for him tonight. Mm-hmm. Milner, Chan, Lucas, Firmino, Coutinho, Benteke.
Well, that's, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. I just think what he'll do, he'll have Lucas holding with in front of him, Sean and Milner, or he could actually have go 4-2-3-1 with Milner in behind Benteke and Coutinho and Firmino and the wide areas. He could do that. I think I'm happy with that.
So no Henderson.
No, he's obviously subs, the foot injury. Yeah.
Sacco, Moreno, Origi, Ings, Ibe and Rossiter, as well as Bogdan.
Rossiter, good to see Jordan in there after having a bad injury last year. And Sacco's back in, obviously. Yeah. I think Liverpool offered him a 5-year contract where people were thinking he was going to leave.
To fend off
people,
clubs
So So that's interesting. You know, Jordan Rossiter, well done, son.
So Klein, Skirtle, Lovren, Gomez, Milner, Chan, Lucas, Firmino, full debut for him, Coutinho and Benteke. Right, game on at the Emirates, kickoff 8 o'clock. Keep a close eye on that one, of course. Let's reflect again on what happened at Goodison Park yesterday. We've got Mickey on the line. Mickey the Blue, wanting to talk all things Everton. Welcome, Mickey.
Yeah, evening, chaps.
What were your thoughts initially on leaving Goodison Park yesterday?
Do you know what, boys? I just think sometimes you've just got to hold your hands up and just say, you know, we were beaten by a better team. Mm. Their movement is just unbelievable. I think you're probably looking, I know it's early days, but you're probably looking at the champions there if they keep going like that. You know, you just can't see a weakness in them, you know, at the back. They're so.
And that was the end of Mickey. Oh, no, he's still there.
they're so big and strong at the back. And then, as I say, the movement is just unbelievable. You know, they've got the magician there, that is David Silva, just pulling all the strings of the orchestra. And you know, they've obviously added their Sterling now to the equation. And you've just got to say fair play, hold your hands up. And, you know, we were probably done by, you know, the best team in the league at the moment.
Mickey, I just think that, you know, I was disappointed. I agree with everything he said there. I thought it was disappointing. And, you know, they were the better team, don't get me wrong. But I thought we put up a good battle. My only disappointment was the fact that we didn't stretch Kompany and Mangala enough for me. I thought we played in front of them. We didn't really run behind them. We had no midfield players getting forward to support Lukaku. And that was a disappointing thing again. Whilst we had a couple of chances, I just don't think we tested them enough.
No, I think it was, I mean, Aruna Kone was pretty ineffective, Graham Wanny. I think he looked at the Southampton game where he had a decent game. I probably would have tweaked it ever so slightly and brought in maybe Ozzy into the midfield to try and bolster the midfield a bit. And as you say, you know, give Rom some balls to run onto, because after them two goals that he scored against Southampton, his confidence was fly high, and I think he was up for it, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And I just don't, you're right, I think, you know, they don't sort of give him enough balls over the top just to test them, because, you know, everything that sort of was food and drink for them, really. You know, the long balls that they did play were sort of right down the middle. There was not much going into the channels. But I think sometimes, as I say, you've just got to hold your hands up and just say well done to the, you know.
Yeah, Mickey, I agree with you. I think that they're going to be there or thereabouts at the end of the season, but a shadow of a doubt. I think they've got quality. We were just talking off air about, you know, they've got the ability now to purchase anybody they want, you know, and players want to go and play for them now. If you think where City were a few years ago before Sheikh Mansour came on board, you know, they were very, very average. But it just shows you now they're in a position where they can go and spend as much money as they possibly want. I think they've been linked with De Bruyne now. Kevin De Bruyne from Wolfsburg, is it, Al? Yeah,
he's at Wolfsburg.
Something like 58 million. So that just shows you how much, you know, in terms of, you know, what they've got, they're ahead of the rest of us. It's as simple as that. It's going to be really, really difficult for anybody to claw them back.
Yeah, and you wonder where, you know, where is he going to play him, Graham? Because you know, they, you know, even Navasu hasn't been my favourite player. I thought he, you know, even he was. You know, we really struggled against them, you know, down the flanks there, and obviously they've got the lad Sterling in there now. Yeah. So you wonder where they're going to play him. But I think onwards and upwards for us, Graham. I think you know, we haven't got to lose too much confidence. I think, you know, Tottenham are not pulling up any trees at the moment, are they? So we've got to go down there with a little bit of confidence, and you know, off that Southampton game, and I think, you know, we've got to look to be hitting teams on the break, which, you know, try and sort of bring teams onto us, and then obviously, you know, we've got the players there that we can do damage on.
Yeah, Mickey, I was going to say to you as well, what do you think of you know, we were talking in the studio before, Tim Howard?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, Graham, I thought he was at fault. I thought he had a good game. I thought he made some decent saves. I think the saves that he made, you would expect him to make. I think he got done at his near post. I think, you know, and it's not the first time that that's happened. So I think it's, you know, it's something that, you know, we've got to look at. And, you know, slightly at fault as well. Although, you know, I think, you know, we should have went with the runners. But
yeah. Okay, Mickey.
Yeah, got to look at his position, and I think is you know, but all round, I think he had a decent game. But, you know, for the goals, he's got to be looked at there.
Yeah, as you say, look forward to the next one. Yeah,
absolutely. All the best, gents.
Cheers. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks very much, Mickey. Reflecting on Everton's defeat at home against Manchester City yesterday. We're looking forward to Liverpool at Arsenal tonight. Emre Can, can he cement his place now?
Yeah, it's an opportunity. You know, for, obviously he was back late, because he was involved in the under-21s. It's his first start. He come on against Stoke and done very, very well towards the end. He'd done all right against Bournemouth. Just be interesting to see where he actually plays him. You know, as Holden with Lucas, as I said before, or whether he's just elevated further up the park. Just wait and see where he plays. But he can adapt. He's shown that when he went into a back three, he was absolutely superb. Brought a lot of confidence to the two players. You know, he's not fazed. He doesn't panic. Strong. You know, people say he's not quick, but when he gets in his stride, he is. But I think he could be a big player in years to come. I really do.
Big night for Gomez,
I think. It is Sharpie, yeah. I think it's a big, the one thing I'm expecting, and Arsenal to overload it down that side early on and test him. You know, he's only 18-year-old lad. He's been tested to a certain degree with John Walters at Stoke, and the Bournemouth lad was a good player, and he'd done particularly well there. But I think tonight they will try and catch him out and see if he can stand up to the test.
And Firmino, I suppose, given what Sharpie said earlier, if you pay big money, you should play them. Well, £29 million pounds from Hoffenheim, he gets a start.
Well, he got to at the expense of you know, Jordan Ibe. Lallana's injured, so, you know, Jordan Ibe as well. For Lallana, Sean's come in there and Henderson. And then Ibe's been dropped back, so he's reshuffled it a little bit. And when you pay that much money for a certain player, it's a no-brainer that you've got to back your judgment, and as soon as you get the opportunity, you've got to put him in the team. And hopefully he shows his value. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he actually gives to the team.
Just on Arsenal, by the way, Arsenal without both centre-backs tonight. Mertesacker's ill, and Koscielny's got a back problem. In come Callum Chambers and Gabriel.
Well, if you're the manager, you say, well, hey, Coutinho, Firmino, you get balls into Benteke, you know, and Milner get up alongside and see what you can do, because that's not ideal, is it? That's not ideal. Because we're saying now, as good as Arsenal are going forward, even with them two, you know, Mertesacker and Koscielny in, they are vulnerable. Now, with them out and a couple of young lads come in, that's a big test.
Well, Gabriel's got a bit of experience, hasn't he? But the rest of the side, Bellerin's at right back, Monreal left.
They haven't played together as a unit. So Liverpool really have to test them by getting balls into Benteke and getting round them, not isolating them.
Yeah, no Walcott or Oxlade-Chamberlain from the off. It's Coquelin, Cazorla, Ramsey, Ozil, Sanchez and Giroud. Yeah.
Well, for me, if you keep Sanchez quiet and you know, don't get Giroud much in the box, you'll have a chance. Sanchez is a... You know, his quality play. And it was interesting seeing Wenger's comments, and it's only reiterating what I've said and what people have said. How could Liverpool miss out on him when we had the aces in Suarez? He should never have signed for Barcelona till you know, Sanchez signed for us. And Wenger said he was so surprised when he had an opportunity of getting him. So that was bad business from Liverpool's point of view.
Ant Sweeney's been listening to City Talk on the way home, outlining perfectly why we'll miss Lallana tonight. Not his biggest fan, but make perfect sense, he said.
Absolutely. So. For me, I thought he was going to be left out anyway, you know, after the first two games. So I hope the injury's not, but you know, it's not a bad injury, but you know, to be fair tonight, it could be timely.
Just on that Joe Gomez one, big night for him, as Sharpie said. Who's going to, a bit like Galloway yesterday, who's going to come back and help him out and track back and support him? And
I think it'll be Firmino. Because I think the way he started, well, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Coutinho may start on the right hand side, and Firmino on the left. You know, the way he could possibly go, he could possibly play like with Coutinho in behind Benteke and switch around with Milner on the right. Then you got Sean, Firmino on the left, and Lucas in like, you know, 4-1 formation, 4-4-1-1 formation. But certainly he'll need someone who knows, you know, what to do, you know, to shelve the problems. And it'll be interesting. I don't think Coutinho could do that personally, as well as I've seen Firmino. He's played in the German league. It's a strong league. He's a strong player. He puts his foot in a bit. So that'd be interesting, that.
I was just looking at just at the team. I'm thinking, does he play, as John says, at the three holding midfield players in Chan, Lucas and Milner? And just say, let's throw in Firmino and Coutinho and maybe Benteke and give them that screen in front of the back four. But listen, whatever you play against Arsenal, they'll look for pockets. Very similar to Man City. They'll just look for little pockets, getting people in the little spaces in between lines, if you like, and they'll cause problems. But, as John said as well, the centre-back pairing, what we said before, Arsenal are not great defensively. That's a big gamble tonight. Missing two of your really experienced centre backs, you know, against somebody of like Benteke's stature, you know. So right away, if I'm in the dressing room now, I'd be like, right, hey, as soon as you get it into me,
absolutely,
and come and play off me,
absolutely,
you know. And you'd bully, if you look at the size of Benteke, he'll bully Chambers all night tonight. He will bully him all night if you get the service to him.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll know. He'll be told by the manager you've got to hit amongst them. But again, it's getting the service up to him.
Yeah.
And he hasn't had an awful lot the first two games and playing off him.
Great. A game to look forward to. Kicks off at 8 o'clock at the Emirates. Team News confirmed there, which we've debated in great detail. We are back with the final part of the Legends tonight next.
Monday and Friday at 6:30, an hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City Sport.
Madar now, Czech still inside the area. Back to Ward, crossing, great chance here, it's there! Oh yes, Duncan Ferguson makes it 1-1. Grant's got it now, chips the ball in, what a shot! Yes, it's there! Tony Grant found a quite delicious chip. Now, whether he meant it, he'll say he meant it, as he has a high five with Howard Kendall right beneath us. But whether he meant it or not, the most important thing is Everton lead by 2-1.
They didn't win that game. It finished 2-2. They were Everton's two goals in the last trip to Barnsley, Sharpie, in 1998, when Barnsley were in the Premiership, as it was called then. Ferguson and Tony Grant with the goals.
I may have been at that game.
Mikel Madar was mentioned in commentary.
He did, and I think he came off. And I think I might have said in commentary, and he came off and took his boots off and put his flip flops on. And I think I said in commentary, I think he had them on for the whole 70 minutes. I remember that game 2-2.
Yeah, 2-2. Last time the two sides met, they've never met in the League Cup before. Incidentally, they have met in the FA Cup five times. I thought you'd want to know that because you're missing my stats already, Sharpie, aren't you? So never met in the League Cup before.
Yeah, I met in the FA Cup. I scored there. We won 1-0 one time. And I think Snods might have scored there.
No.
Yeah, he might have done, I know. But no, listen, looking at that tie.
How do Everton approach that?
Well, he's got to approach it in the right and proper way, and he's got to play a strong team. You know, he said before that it's important that Everton try and win the trophy. You know, and this might be their best opportunity to win the trophy. You know, I think the performances and the results in the League Cup over the years have been poor. I think last year we went out to Leeds.
Three years ago.
Well, but I think that
went out to Swansea last year and Fulham the year before.
Exactly, and I think he got a lot of stick from the supporters. Mm. You know, thinking, you know, it wasn't a strong enough team. I think was it David Moyes that put out the team against Leeds?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
It was, and he made a lot of change. He got a lot of stick. So Evertonians are wanting to go there and see a strong team and go and take it seriously and win the game and try and get into a final, try and get to Wembley, try and win something.
But there's no Europe, Graham, in it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you have to go with it. And there's no FA Cup till January.
Yeah.
And it's Wembley in the sights. I think he's got to play his top team. I think he really has and give himself an opportunity.
I think Everton are under pressure this time to play a stronger side in the League
Cup.
Well,
he's got to. The pressure's come from the supporters who want to win a trophy. You know, they want to win a trophy and they're thinking, well, how many games does it take? Is it six games? I don't know. Five games, six
second,
games.
Second, third, fourth, fifth, semis. Yeah.
So, you know, this is an ideal opportunity. So why shouldn't they take it and approach, okay, it's probably the lesser of all the trophies you can go for, but it's a start.
Still nice to win, isn't it?
It's a start.
Absolutely, yeah.
You've got to get there.
And Liverpool join in the third round. They've got a bye, of course, in the second round. The draw, incidentally, for the third round takes place after all the games tomorrow night. Everton's game is not until Wednesday, but that's the only game on Wednesday evening. So they will know before they go out who they're going to play if they can beat Barnsley at Oakwell. Should beat Barnsley. League One side, Lee Johnson, the boss there now, isn't he? Former Oldham
been
manager.
Honest, Kim, but you expect Devon to go there and win,
I would think so. What are you expecting from Liverpool tonight? Let's touch on Benteke. So we've had a few tweets in. Jack from Chester said, Benteke's most ineffective performance for Villa was in the FA Cup final. I don't think he was alone in that game. Do you think he's got a point to prove tonight?
Well, it might be to himself, but, you know, when you're a striker, you need service.
Mm.
You know, and I don't think Villa got any. To be fair, Arsenal were excellent, and they didn't have a shot. Villa, he got nothing played up to him. He had no real opportunities, and he was feeding off scraps. Mm. So first and foremost, he might want to think, well, I didn't do well that, and I want to do well tonight. But certainly make sure that you get the service soon. That's the most important thing tonight, as I said before.
He's playing in a better team tonight than he did in the final.
That's a player around him,
Brendan Rodgers has said that basically they haven't changed their style to suit Benteke. It's too early to say that, isn't it?
Well, we're mixing it up a lot more than we, you know, there's a lot of long balls going there, especially from the keeper, which, you know, sometimes...
Isn't that a good thing, though?
Yeah, it's a mix-up. You don't want to be really long all the time, because football, get it down and play. But certainly, it's a much better outlet now than it was in years before, when we had like, Sterling up front, the ball was coming back, or even Suarez, you know, even Sturridge, you know, they're not notoriously good for winning headers. Mm. This fella's, you've got to take, you know, chances, and you've got to, you know, gamble off him a lot more.
Why not do that? You know, at times, you know, you can overplay.
Mm.
But if you've got an asset up front whose assets are getting a hold of the ball, play further up the field.
Yeah.
Knock it a little bit longer when you have to. I think that's what infuriates Everton fans at times. When they get the ball and they roll it out to the back four, who pass it square and pass it into midfield to come back again to pass. At times, knock it forward, push up and get the knockdown and support your front players. And I think that is an option for Liverpool with Benteke. And as I said before, I saw him against Everton last year and he was awesome, absolutely awesome. His touch is very, very good. If he can get players round about him, he'll score goals, but he'll create goals as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, Liverpool have got the players, Coutinho, to get in and around him, Sturridge when he's fit, and depending on how they play. But he's a big player for them. And they haven't changed their system, but they can do.
Yeah.
They can do when they want to, and they can go forward. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because I think the teams nowadays are too content in just keeping the ball and getting all these possession stats.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything. The most important stat is goals.
Well, there's nothing worse than being predictable.
Yeah.
Well, we were at the back. We're getting the ball at the back and passing and passing and passing, and teams towards towards Christmas, was pushing on us, you know, at the back four and harassing them, like four players in our half. Now when the ball goes to the keeper and he launches it, then four players are out the game.
Mm.
And it's all about picking up the second ball to play in their half. Whereas before, he'd launch it and he's coming straight back. The only outlet they had was Glenn Johnson, who had a bit of height. He used to try and aim for Glenn Johnson on the right-hand side because we had no height up front. So all of a sudden, you can turn it around. Hey, let's not forget, Chelsea won, you know, premierships with Drogba up front doing the same thing. You know, and they played it up to him, but they launched a few
mixed
as well and mixed it up. And
football's
football.
Arsenal play with Giroud. Now people saying, what is the best football team at Arsenal? They play with Giroud. So they're not averse to, like, after a couple, maybe knock it long, get them a hold of it, and then push up the field. So there's no reason, there's nothing wrong with it. I just think we've gone a little bit towards the Barcelona style of play, you know, tippy-tappy and all that kind of thing. Unfortunately, our teams haven't got Xavi or Iniesta or Suarez or people like that kind of thing who have been schooled in that way. So why not use your assets? And Liverpool's asset for me is a tall centre-forward. Get it forward to him and play off him.
Gabby from Ormskirk has tweeted in to say, what do you think, Aldo, is going to be Liverpool's biggest challenge tonight?
Sanchez. Sanchez. I really do. You know, I think he's a fantastic player.
A lot of Arsenal fans saying he's not even 100% fit yet.
Well, he wasn't at Crystal Palace, but you could see he was a little bit rusty because he'd not been back a lot, but he'd done enough damage against them and he created havoc. Because he's so Suarez-like. He's not as good as Suarez, but he's so Suarez-like. He doesn't let anyone, you know, have any time on the ball. He chases lost causes and he's quite good in and around the box, and he can, you know, he's got a good dig on him from outside the box. He's a smashing player.
So keeping a clean sheet is a challenge in itself. Sean from Toxta said, will Liverpool be able to keep a clean sheet tonight against an attack-minded Arsenal? Well, if they do, it's a fantastic outcome, isn't it?
It is. Well, we haven't conceded a goal up to now, but I can't see us keeping a clean sheet tonight. I hope I'm certainly wrong.
I think Liverpool will score.
Given the two centre-backs we've talked about.
I think Liverpool will score. It's as John said, can they keep a clean sheet?
Yeah, you're hoping as well. The only thing is Sanchez comes back. You know, West Ham beat them. So they might be a little bit nervy there because the first home game, they lost 2-0. So they've gone away and won, which, you know, give them a bit of confidence. But the one thing is Sanchez, he's buzzing and everyone thrives off him. And they've got some great players in and around, haven't they? You know, so if we keep him quiet, then we could surprise a few people.
Prediction then, Aldo, in the final minute of our show.
Draw 1-1.
After he said that, we could surprise a few people.
Brady, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I'm hopeful. I'll take a draw now. Even with Daily Fed, I'll take a draw.
Sharpie, I've already gone for an Arsenal win.
Yeah, I think Liverpool scored, but I think Arsenal will edge it. I think Arsenal will edge it.
Well, if that is the case, you will go 5-3 up if Arsenal do.
But as John said as well, they lost the game against West Ham. So they'll be nervy at home. You know, the fans will be on edge. Yeah, they'll get behind the team, don't get me wrong. But if it's not going well for them, they can turn as well. So, you know, it might be a good time to play this.
It's all about the tactics. If he gets his tactics right, the manager, you know, up to last time, give them nothing. You know, keep it right. You know, get Benteke the service that he deserves and see what happens.
Yeah, okay. Well,
what do you think?
Against Everton.
What do you think?
I'll go for a draw.
Oh, they're sitting on that fence.
Carlos, what do you think, mate?
Draw. Oh, what's going
right,
on?
That's it. We've got to go. Will Everton beat Barnsley very quickly, Sharpie?
Yes.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. Thanks very much, Legends, with us here. And back, of course, with us on Friday on Radio City Sport.
Monday and Friday at 6:30, an hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City Sport.